Father, we're so glad that we get to be the church united, God, that the church spread out gets to be the church come together. And Father, I just pray now that as we get together and open your word, that I just want to just say thank you. To see so many faces I don't know here at CPC is a blessing. Because that means you're doing something. You're doing some cool work here. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that today we all would come together and be mutually encouraged by your grace and by your truth, and by your light. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for having me. It's good to be home and be in the place where, you know, a lot of these hooligan faces up here in the front, like, I'm like, oh, Lord, you put them up front? And then also, like, just being able to see friendly faces that have been a blessing to me over the years. I just want to say thank you for your prayers, for your support of Lilac City. God's doing some amazing things. And one of the most amazing things today is baptizing our first person who decided to come to know Jesus at our church plant, Juniper Denniston. And so we're very excited to see what God's doing and be a part of it. But let me ask you this. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, no pain, no gain? Yeah, well, if you've been to the gym, you've probably heard that, right? If you've gone into a gym and you got all these men and women in there just trying to like break their PRs, like putting up 450 pounds on the squat, 300 pounds on bench, and the phrase that emanates through the idea of being in a gym, or whether and any of you know that, like, whatever in life you have to do, there's usually some pain that you got to go through to gain the experience that you want. Whether it's just to be chiseled, you know, sorry, to maybe it's you're practicing an instrument and you're playing guitar and you have to go through the pain of getting calluses. A lot of times it's no pain, no gain. But what if I told you that spiritually, you already have it all? What if I told you that you don't lack power in the slightest? What if I told you that you have been given everything you need? Well, if I said, man, I got everything that I need, and I said that in the gym, somebody would likely look over at me and say, nah, bro, prove it. And then I would walk away in sadness. But today I'm going to prove to you in scripture today that you have everything you need. We're going to be in 2 Peter. Last time I was here, I was preaching through 1 Peter. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, you're going to see that Peter is writing to believers who are starting to lose their steam in their Christian lives. They're losing that drive and that passion. And what he has for us today is a radical message for them, but also for us. And so the big idea today, if you don't remember anything, I want you to remember this. You lack nothing, so keep going. You lack nothing, so keep going. So today we're going to have three life-changing truths from this passage that you're going to see. First is that you lack nothing. And then you're going to see the encouragement from Peter to go all out. And that the ultimate end is that you gain everything. So let's begin by looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So if you got a Bible turned there, you'll see it up here as well. Let's go ahead and look at verses 3 and 4. It says this: His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So the first thing we need to look at is that if you lack nothing, well, what's the power source? What's the power source? Peter begins here by saying his divine power has given us everything we need. Well, if we look at this, it's hard, and scholars had some difficulty sometimes looking at this and saying, whose power are we talking about? Is it God, Jesus, you know, that kind of thing? Well, ultimately, if you look back at verse 2, you see that it's from Jesus. So this power comes from Jesus. And so the question is, what is this divine power like? What is this divine power like? Well, how many of you have ever played with one of these? This is a little flashlight that, like, if you wind it up, you can get some power into it. And look how bright it is. I'm sorry I blinded you. Hold on, let me. So bright, right? If you've ever needed something in a pinch, these might be good. But the power, this kind of power source, let's say you needed to charge your cell phone with this. Well, okay, I don't think it's going to work. But what if you needed power for your entire home? Well, it's definitely not going to work. Well, what if you needed to power the whole city of New York City with this power grid? Is this going to be enough power? I'm going to give it my best. Well, you're going to get a little bit of light. But ultimately, our power source that comes from ourselves is often like this little flashlight. If we're trying to live under our own power, we're often just trying to wind ourselves up to try and be okay. But I want you to know this, church, we have been given a divine power. And this divine power is not a power that just lights up cities. It's the very power that brought Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the very power that is powering the sun as it gives us life and gives us everything we need. We have been given the divine power through Jesus Christ to give us what? If we've been given this power, what does this do? He says, this divine power has given us something. A couple things. Now, what does the text say? You've been given everything you need for a godly life. Now, pause and let that sink in for a second. You've been given everything. So I did some looking up in the Greek, and you know what everything means in the Greek? Everything. And so we know that everything means everything. And so what we see is this power has been given, this a divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Peter tells us that here that anything that is required to live a godly life has already been supplied through Jesus Christ to you as a believer. Can I ask an honest question though? How often are you feeling like your spiritual life's a little bit more like this than it is the power of God? That you're feeling like you have to wind yourself up to get through the day, that you're feeling like you need just a little bit more. I want to tell you this. You've been given everything you need for a godly life today. And guess what that means? What kind of godly life? Is it maybe we're just talking about the godly life in the future in heaven, right? Or is it the godly life for today? Well, church, can we just say yes? You've been given by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're here and said, I've decided to follow Jesus, I want you to hear this. You've been given everything you need for a godly life, both here as you said yes to Jesus, as your eternal state it began when you said yes to Jesus. You're living out your eternity beginning from the time you decided to say yes to Jesus. So what does that mean? The same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. So let me ask you, church, when we think about a godly life, we're thinking about a godly life that is today, something that's changing us today, as well as going into the internal presence of Christ. Through Jesus, we are supplied with both meaning to this life and also a beautiful life to come. And that is through the knowledge of him who called us. And look at this. He says, called by his own glory and goodness, even your call to follow Jesus came not from your own power, but came from the power of Jesus Christ himself. It took a divine power to save you and me. And this divine power is something that he enacted on our behalf. And so even your call to follow him came from Jesus. He's the one that found you. So, your power to live a godly life, your call to salvation, all of this is done by the life and power of Jesus Christ himself. So often, I don't know if you're like me at all, but it feels like I'm running on AA batteries spiritually rather than the divine power of God. I don't know if you've ever been there. Trying to run, think through my spiritual life and trying to say, hey, what's my walk with Jesus like? Am I doing okay? Am I living according to this power? Or are you living like this flashlight, trying to crank up this a spiritual life that's in you and trying to live 100% for Jesus while trying to keep cranking on your spiritual life? And hopefully you work hard enough that you're going to be okay. Church, I want to give you a word of encouragement. You have been given everything you need for life and godliness. You do not lack a single thing. And because you don't lack a single thing, what that means is that Jesus Christ has given you everything. Here's what I want to say. Stop living like you're running off AA batteries and remember that you are called by a divine power. This is divine power that you've been given. It's this call to salvation. You can be done with trying to crank up your spiritual life and become hopefully a light to the world, or you can live in light of the divine power that Jesus has given you. And here's the beauty. He says in verse 4 that we've been given great and precious promises to go along with this. This is good, church. So he says, through these, and what are these things? It's his glory and goodness from verse 3. God's character is the foundation of everything that follows. You see, you lack nothing because God's glory and goodness are the source of your goodness and power, right? So here's what he says. Peter then uses his words very, very carefully. He says this, that you have been given these precious promises. Now, these aren't just good promises. These aren't just like, well, hopefully they come true promises. These are precious promises that are guaranteed towards you. And so what we have to ask is, Peter, what are these promises that you're talking about? Well, first thing he's going to tell us is that later in chapter 3, he talks about that Jesus is not slow concerning his promises. And at that point, he's talking about the coming of Jesus back again one day. So there's one day Jesus is going to come and take his people home, and he's going to wipe away every tear like we sang in that last song, right? This is good news for us. So here's what you need to see. You've been given a promise today that you've got everything you need for life and godliness. You've been given a promise tomorrow that Jesus is going to take you home one day. And let me tell you, church, once again, what do you lack?
Nothing.
You lack nothing because there's a promise that you've been given that you are going to have everything today and that Jesus is going to take you home tomorrow. Church, here's the crazy part that he gets to. Then he says this, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Sit on that for a second. Participate in the divine nature. Participate means that you're not just an observer. If you're a Mariners fan today, you're hoping that Cal Raleigh is not just a participant on the sidelines. You want him in the game because otherwise we're going to be in deep trouble, right? If you are here and you're a Blue Jays fan, well, go home. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're just in enemy territory. That's all. But Here's what this means. You don't just get divine power, you get to participate in the nature of who God is. And that this partaking of this nature means that you're part of the union with Christ, you're part of the family of Christ. But let me just be clear what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you become gods. You don't become God, okay? You don't, that's impossible and blasphemous. So let's just keep that there. But here's the other side. You are sharing in his holiness, righteousness, and love. You get to participate in the very nature of who God is. And he says, I'm going to empower you with that power and then allow you to function and live into the nature that I have so that you can become increasingly more like me. You see, you get God's actual nature operating in you because you have the actual spirit of the living God living within you. Church, you lack nothing. And so verse 4 gives us this picture of you do not lack a single thing. You've been given these great and precious promises. You get to participate in the divine nature. And that means you are now united with Christ. You have a family in Christ that is knitted together in love. And so here's my question. What do you lack? We're getting there, church. What do you lack? If church, if we're going to participate in the divine nature, we better start participating in church. Amen. What do you lack? Nothing. That's what we're talking about. So here's what I want you to see. If you are here and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to keep trying to be good enough for God. Through Christ, you already participate in his nature. And so here's my thing. Live like it. If you're already a participant in it, live like it. Enjoy this beauty that comes from the goodness and grace of God. If you are here today and you have decided to follow Jesus, what would it look like for you to live out your life as if you were empowered by divine power, as if you lacked nothing? What would it look like for you to go to your workplace this week and believe that was the case? What would it look like for you to go to your school and believe that you lack nothing when it comes to your spiritual walk with God? What would it look like if you believed the promises of God for today and tomorrow? Well, I hope that verses 5-9 is going to help us, because if the first point is you lack nothing, the second point is this: go all out. So if you lack nothing, you can go all out. Take a look at verses 5-7 with me. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Okay, buckle up. Let's figure out what we're talking about here. So what, for this very reason, what is Paul or Peter talking about here? Well, first off, we've got to remember, how much do you lack, church? Nothing. You don't lack anything because you are a participant in the divine nature, because you've been given these great and precious promises that have allowed you to escape the corruption of this world. Here's what you can know. You can go all out for Jesus. You can go all out for Jesus, not from desperation as if you need to please God, but because you have the power of God living in you, empowering you to go all out in your life. And so, what does that look like? Peter, and this is interesting, he says, for this very reason, make every effort. Another word that he uses in different translations use is be diligent. So what does it look like to make every effort? This word here that Peter uses means to be urgent, to be zealous, to give maximum intensity. But here's the beautiful part. It's not frantic effort. It's not this, oh, hopefully I'm going to be good enough today to live. No, remember, how much do you lack, church? If you lack nothing, then, and you've been given all of this stuff from the Father, here's what you need to know. He wants you to go all out with the power that he's given you. See, So this zealousness that he talks about is this idea, the meaning in the original language carries this idea of someone who spares no expense because they know the outcome is guaranteed. Think about this. Let's say, how many of you have had to marry off a daughter? Anybody marry off a daughter? Well, here's what you know. Let's say that you had all the riches at your disposal to give your daughter the best wedding ever. And you have this, you're able to give everything you got, and you know you're not trying to get to please your daughter by going all out. You're going all out because you know that you've got it and you want to give it. Much in the same way, you've been richly supplied with everything you need. Therefore, what I want you to hear is this, church. Since you've been given everything you need, you work from the riches of God's power, not from the emptiness of your own effort. And so you can go all out. You can go after this. You can do this thing. And here's what I want you to see. That God sponsored your salvation and gave you everything he had. And now he wants you to take on your own spiritual development. And he wants you to go after it. Go all out with what you've been given. And so he's saying, don't be cheap with your own spiritual development. Don't be cheap with your own spiritual development when God wasn't cheap when it came to your salvation. So, what are we to do? Well, Peter says that now you're going to add some things to your life. You're going to add some things to your life. Now, what he means is not this. It's not a ladder that you're supposed to climb up that you're trying to level up. What he's saying is this. I want you to think about, how many of you have ever had a good sandwich? If you've had a good sandwich, I've talked to you before about the Stephanie sandwich that my wife makes. It's a good sandwich, but there's levels to this thing. You got to build this thing out. And if you want to experience the goodness of God and the spiritual life that he's called you to, here's what he wants you to do. It's building this life on top of each other. So he begins by saying this. I want you to start with faith. So what is faith? Faith is this idea that you've placed your faith in Jesus and that he's the one that you're trusting to save you. That's your starting point, church. So today, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus as your Savior, the one who will carry you into eternity, I want you to stop and just say, Lord, would you save me right now? In Jesus' name, I need you. I can't do it without you. My own human efforts get me nowhere. I'm tired of running just like spinning in the mud. I want the divine power that saves me. If you bring yourself to Jesus and say, I want your power instead of mine, he guarantees that he will save you and bring you into the next life for the rest of eternity. So that's one part. Now for the rest of y'all, if you've already got faith, I want you to start looking at this list. He says, I want you to add to your faith goodness. And the meaning in the original language here is moral excellence. And so he wants to take your faith and he wants to say like, hey, now that you've got this piece of bread, this faith, this part of this recipe, I want you to add on top of that goodness. So you're making an epic sandwich together. So you got to, you go all out to add moral excellence to your life. Next up, he says knowledge. This is not just Bible trivia. Okay, what he's saying here is practical wisdom for living, knowledge that changes the way that you live. So you take faith and you add goodness, and now you're going to add knowledge to it. And so all of a sudden, you're starting to see the development of this beautiful spiritual sandwich. And then he says, with that knowledge, I want you to start practicing self-control. And that's the power to say no to destructive desires and to say yes to life-giving ones. This comes from knowing you already have everything you need. Because church, what's true? You lack what? Nothing. You lack nothing. And then add self-control. There's perseverance. This is the idea, the ability to keep going when it's hard. This one's rough sometimes, isn't it? Can we be honest? But this is a part of the development of the faith life that we have. This perseverance, you can endure because you know that the outcome is guaranteed. And we'll talk about the outcome that comes at the end in verses 10 and 11. So then you add on to perseverance, you add godliness. That's living in a way that lives out God's character in your life. And remember, you're already a participant in the nature of God. So if you're already a participant in the nature of God, you can add godliness to your life in a way that you're going all out for it. Then he goes on, he says, godliness, he wants you to add mutual affection. This is the idea of genuine brotherly love for one another, not forced friendships, but real family love. And this is why this is towards the end of the list. It's not just for the people that you like. It's for the body of Christ. It's for everyone. Because you don't get to choose your family spiritually either. And then he adds on mutual affection, love. And love is the pinnacle. And so you might be saying, well, Brolin, I'm supposed to love all through this, right? Yep, absolutely, amen. You might have some of the like bits and pieces of some of these, but I want you to stop for a second and think about this. This is not about earning these virtues. It's about accessing them, remembering that you've been given the character, the divine power and the nature of God in you. You now can access these from living in the power of Jesus Christ. How many of you are exhausted with self-improvement culture? 10 quick ways to fill in the blank. 5 easy steps to live for 150 years. If you just take cold plunges every 3 minutes, you would be able to live for eternity. We've got a lot of, and there, it doesn't mean that this is bad things, but here's the deal. This is not about self-improvement. This is about recognizing who you already are and living into the character that God's already given to you, right? This is part of who you are. It's part of your spiritual DNA now. It's just about living this out. And see what Peter offers, I apologize, we're preaching through Romans at Lilac City, so I'm fighting sometimes going through Peter and Paul. So here's what he's saying. He wants you to be, wants you to know that you are already enough because you have God's nature. Now live like it. That's the reason you can live out the nature of Christ, because you've been given everything you need for life and godliness. And here's the part that Peter wants. He says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what they've been cleansed from. So Peter begins by telling us what he talks a lot in doubles. You'll see like he talks in pairs a lot. So the first thing he says is ineffective and unfruitful. This wording in the original language is this idea of being useless or lazy. It's producing nothing. It's like having a gym membership, then never going to the gym. I don't know anything about that at all. Let's just move on. Anyways, the next thing he says is nearsighted and blind, forgetting what you've been cleansed from already. Here's the thing. When we don't live into these things, we get nearsighted and blind. We forget that God has done all of this for us, and so we begin living from our own power and strength. And then we get back to this hamster wheel of life. Even listening to it's annoying, right? You don't want that. So here's what I want you to see. You lack nothing, so keep going. You lack nothing, so keep going. You don't lack a gym membership. That idea that you don't, that spiritual gym membership where you've been given everything you need, all the power that you need. You don't lack the equipment because you've been given the Spirit of God and the promises of God. You don't lack a trainer in the Holy Spirit to empower you. You don't lack strength because you've been given divine power. So what's your excuse for not using what you already have? The world says work hard to become worthy Peter says, you're already worthy in Christ. Now work from that identity and not for it. So maybe you're here today, here this morning, and you've been trying to earn God's favor by your own efforts. That if maybe if you're good enough, you'll get to heaven. That is not what this list entails. The ability to go all out flows from faith in Jesus Christ, who empowers transformation. So if you're here today and you're tired of running the rat race of performance, believing that this will get you to heaven, I've got some good news. Today's the day to stop. Stop trying to earn it. Just stop. Jesus Christ has already done the work for you today. You don't have to do the work. He's done it for you so you can say yes to him and say, I'm going to put my faith not in my work, but your work. You can do that today. If you're here and you've already put your faith in Jesus, you're not trying to earn God's love through spiritual performance. I want you to hear that. You're living out the divine nature you already possess. So here's my challenge to you. Which virtue feels the most challenging this week? Take a look at this list. Go ahead and pull that verse up real quick again, that list on there. If that is here, if you see this list, where's the struggle? I want you to mark one. And I want you to now, after you've marked that, I want you to take that to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit, I need your help to empower me to live this out. I know you've given me everything, so I want to access what you've given. Can you help me, Jesus? And know that your Christian life is not meant to coast through. You don't need to be a spiritual couch potato. Go all out because church, how much do you lack? Nothing. So if we know that we can go all out because we don't lack anything, here's what I want you to know. The end result is that you gain everything. You gain everything. Take a look at verses 10 through 11. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Underline that. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what Peter does here is he uses the strongest possible language here. He says things like, you will never stumble. And this idea of what it means that you'll never stumble, it comes from this idea of confirming what God's already called in you. You see, here's the deal. Peter says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Oftentimes we hear these words and we get scared because it turns into a theological debate. Peter's just trying to be very practical here. This word confirm means to make something rock solid, to authenticate it as genuine. I was tempted to bring a piece of paper where I printed out Michael Jordan's autograph and say, look guys, I've got Michael Jordan's autograph. Well, what's the first thing that they're going to ask, that somebody's going to ask, like, is that real? Is that real? And here's what I want you to know. It wouldn't have been real, right? Obviously, because I printed it out. But the thing is that just like the authenticity of my faith, one of the things that we do is we want to live out the life that Christ has called us to confirm what he has already done in our lives. It is living out the reality that is already true for us. And so when you hear this, he's saying, your faith is real, so live like it. Your faith is real, so live like it. Peter is saying that he wants you to authenticate the spiritual lifestyle. And that's why Peter is saying, your efforts make you a Christian. Let me just be very clear about that. He's saying your efforts prove you already are one. Okay? So it's like proving that you have a gym membership. I go into my gym, what happens is that I could just walk in and just walk by the front counter without beeping my little card thing. But they're going to be like, hey, wait, I need to confirm that you belong here. Well, they're not going to look at me and initially say, oh, you definitely go to the gym every day. They're going to look and say, like, where's your card, man? I need to know that you're in. I need to know that you're a part of this. And here's what it is. This gym membership proves that my membership is real and active. Your spiritual exercises don't earn the membership. They prove what you already have. And so this is the difference between salvation by works and salvation proven by works. Salvation by works says, I obey so God will accept me. Salvation proven by works is this, because God has already accepted me, I can obey with confidence. And here's what's revolutionary about verse 10. When you go all out for God, you gain rock solid assurance of your salvation. Because most Christians live in one of two ditches. One, the first ditch is, I hope I'm saved. And I hope I'm okay. I hope I'm saved enough. And they constantly worry about whether they're saved or not. And then there's the other side is, I know I'm saved, so it doesn't matter how I live. You see, that's cheap grace that produces no change. So Peter offers a third way. I know I'm saved because of how I'm living. I know I'm saved because of how I'm living. And when you add goodness to your faith, pursue knowledge, exercise self-control, you're not earning your salvation. You're experiencing the proof that it's already yours. And this destroys Christian performance anxiety, church. You're not performing for God's approval. You're performing from God's approval. The more you live like Jesus, the more confident that you actually belong to him. And so why does this work? Because fake faith can't sustain long-term spiritual fruit. Fake faith cannot sustain long-term spiritual growth. Only real salvation, real participation in the divine nature can produce the kind of consistent, growing godliness Peter describes in 5 verse 7. And so he finally, what this does is this. Peter's offering the ultimate cure for imposter syndrome. How many of you have ever felt imposter syndrome before? Anybody? This is a world I live in quite often. Am I really qualified to be a pastor of this church? Do I actually belong with these friends? But Peter offers a cure for this. When you're constantly growing in Christ-likeness, you can be absolutely certain you're not a fake Christian. Your transformed life is God's signature on your salvation certificate. And here's what he says, you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the idea of being welcomed in with a promenade. Being welcomed in with all the pomp and circumstance into heaven. Can't you wait for that day? I mean, come on. Like, imagine living your life in a way that you're not just passing, you know. How many of you ever felt like you're like in high school or something, you're graduating, but it was by the skin of your teeth, and your parents were like, oh gosh, I'm so thankful they just got by, but I'm really anxious for what life has ahead, and like, you're just trying to get it. But the difference between that and the honors graduation is like, they put rope things on you, you get celebrated, they give you, let you have a speech, all of a sudden you're like, man, I want that kind of welcome into heaven. And don't you? I want to walk in with a rich welcome, not like, they let that guy in? Because church, you lack nothing. So go all out. And when you go all out in Christian living, you don't just make it to heaven, you arrive with honors. You see, there's Bible talks a lot about crowns for faithfulness, commendations from Jesus himself saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. And so here's what I want you to see as we end this out. This isn't earning different levels of salvation, but it's all, you are saved by grace. And so when you go all out for Jesus, you're not earning inheritance, you're maximizing your inheritance. So, church, today, if you're struggling with purpose, I want you to know that there is a hope in Jesus that gives you a purpose for the rest of your life. Your obedience has meaning, church. It's not just duty, it's an investment into eternity. Your growth has guarantees that God promises you'll ultimately never stumble. And that doesn't mean that you won't sin. It just means that you're not going to stumble away from the faith. You will walk in that. And church, Peter offers the ultimate achievement. Live from God's power now, and you will have the richest possible eternal experience forever. Your spiritual growth isn't just personal development, it's internal, eternal investment with guaranteed returns. Imagine if the stock market was like that. But let me tell you this, your spiritual stock market is guaranteed that if you, since you lack nothing, you go all out, you will gain not just something, you'll gain everything. So if you're here and you've been wondering if you matter or if your life has eternal significance, Jesus offers you divine power to live a life that builds the richest possible forever, the richest possible eternity. But I want you to know that every act of obedience, church, every step of spiritual growth is an investment in your eternal reward. You're not just trying to be a good person. You're building the richest possible welcome into God's kingdom. So church, you lack nothing. So go all out. My encouragement to you is this. If you're struggling today, you're fighting for purpose, keep going. Keep going. You've got everything you need. So go all out because God guarantees everything you want. And here's the thing. The question is, will you go all out for God who's already gone all out for you? Be encouraged today, church.